Good morning, Gloucester. It is GloucesterCast 297, September 16th, 2018. We're past the sweltering heat. We're cruising it. Have you noticed that the mornings it's darker?
Yeah.
It seems like it really went quickly to like...
The shade just went up or down or whichever. At night, I've noticed it at night especially.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, well, I noticed it in the morning because I get here so early and it's like it seems
right.
like forever before...
The sun, the day, like...
Before you get to, you know, see and stuff.
And the sun is lower, so the light's getting more interesting, right?
Best photos, like late May, early June, and then this time
of year. Starting
now. Yeah. Yeah, I love it. Nubara Alexanian is here.
Yeah.
You can say hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
John Bell, former mayor, is here.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, you know what, John? Can we speak about the GMGI as well, besides
sure.
the other project? Okay, great. Pat and Jimmy Dalpiaz are here.
Good morning,
Gloucester.
When are you leaving?
When am I leaving?
Do I
In
have
the
you?
Morning.
Thank you for staying.
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure.
Just to see you today.
It's always a pleasure. And Kim Smith is here.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Nubar, excuse me. You've been working on a project about the green crabs in the Great Marsh, video
mm-hmm.
that's going to be debuted to the public when?
Well, we're going to screen it on Tuesday at Cape Ann
Community Cinema.
Cape Ann Theater, I think it's called now. Interestingly, I've been working on it for about 15 months, and we ended up with two edits, excuse me, an 11-minute version and an 8-minute version. So I thought it'd be interesting to screen it. This is not a premiere of the movie.
Hmm.
This is a screening with local folks to just show an audience the 11-minute version and the 8-minute version and see their response and just to hear what people say about it.
Hmm.
Good feedback.
Yeah.
John, what was your involvement in this?
I carry Nubar's bags. But like all of us, we all have a little bit of salt in our veins. And the first time Nubar showed me the film, I said, I've heard about green crabs. John Sultan, who keeps his boat in my dock, lobsterman, tells me about green crabs all the time. But this movie brought me home to what this is all about. This is critical that all of us that live on the waterfront, live in Gloucester, live on the Great Marsh, have got to get up to date on. And I think Nubar lit the fuse in the film.
Well, I watched it this morning with Jimmy and Pat. It's interesting to me, being around as many lobstermen as I'm around on a daily basis. I had no idea that there was a green crab issue, and these are guys that are on the water all the time. No one's mentioned to me that there's a green crab issue.
They're out further, right? So
they're in the marsh. Further, the marsh is, you can't get closer than the marsh. The marsh is where everything starts.
Oh, yeah. No,
right?
They're in the marsh, right?
Well, you know,
even with the eelgrass.
I spend a lot of time in the marsh fishing for striped bass over, I don't know, the last few decades.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea until June 2017 that there were millions back then. Millions and millions of green crabs in the marsh. So I just started shooting, and really the whole goal of this movie is it's just a wake up call. You know, it's just like, hey everybody, the science is saying there are billions and billions of green crabs in the Great Marsh. Who love clams, they love shellfish. They've already like wiped out mussels in Essex Bay. And the Essex River. I mean, so the question is like, well, what are we going to do? But first of all, who knows about it? Well, not a lot of people know about it.
Listen, I think that I would know, and I have not heard one thing. The only thing that I've heard about green crabs in the past 2 or 3 years was that Billy Moniz was harvesting them. And I'm like, who would eat a green crab? The green crab is like, there's no meat on a green crab. I don't even want to bother with Jonah crabs because Jonah crabs are this big, and I don't even bother with, and I can take them home for free, and I don't bother taking them home for free because, to me, there's so much work for not a lot of meat. I love crab meat. Crab meat is one of my favorite seafoods. I'll take a crab meat roll over any other seafood. That'd be my number one thing.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing about green crabs. You're right about it. There's no meat in them. There's no, they're not worth a lot. And but the roe from green crabs that can be harvested in the fall is really spectacular. I mean, I have never tasted anything quite like it.
Mm.
And so that's, there is, you know, the whole approach to the green crabs has to be, you know, how do we keep pressure on them? They're not going to go away. But how do we keep them from getting really out of control? Well, one of the things is to eat the future. They're, you know, eat the eggs.
Yeah.
And it that there's a real part of the solution is there.
Mm-hmm.
So are you going to ever put the recipe in with the film? And how do you, like, how would you get the roe? Like, so say you're, you know, you want to get some roe to make some soup. How would you do that?
Both good questions. So there is a cookbook out online. If you go to Roger Warner, who is sort of, who is the main person in the movie, he has a site called Green Crab R&D, and he, they have, he and his folks put together so far an eight recipe book about how to do, you know, to make broth with green crabs, which is quite,
oh, I bet it's delicious.
And your second question is, so you can, what they do is they have to, it's kind of intensive, they have to separate the males from the females, and then they deliver the females to Ipswich Shellfish.
Okay.
And they will process them, and it's, I think it's like $50 a pound.
And are they shipping this?
What? Oh, for the roe, you mean?
For the roe.
Are they shipping this to the south, where there's?
I don't know. Actually, I mean,
what are they doing with it? Yeah.
I know there are people. There are fish people in different parts of the country who really want this roe. I don't know how. I'm not sure. You'd have to talk with Roger, and he'll be there Tuesday night to answer these kind of questions.
Mm-hmm.
To find out, like, where in the process are they? I mean, are they gonna? Because the more green, the more roe they can get, the more they can sell, and the more pressure will be on the crabs.
Mm.
I don't know how an individual would get it, but you know, different chefs in town have tested it, and they're just like.
So Ipswich is pretty much the. You got to contact Ipswich if you want to be get some of this roe, or
I think so.
If
I think
wants to try it, or
I think I think what you'd have to do is go to Green Crab R&D.
Go to the website
and
we'll
ask
to find out more.
Ask Roger that question.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I don't know the answer to that. I think yes, they're still.
I wish
processing.
Roger would let you, because it would be really awesome. Like when the film shows, if you can just hand out a recipe, you know what I mean? Maybe
well,
Roger will.
That's a really good idea.
I
should
try.
That's a great
yeah,
idea.
That's
yeah,
a great
that's
idea.
I'd like to try it.
I'm gonna tell you right now. If they had like, you know, like they always do with the seafood shows, like the
right.
A big crock pot for, you know, a little Dixie cup just so people could try. I guarantee
right.
you. I bet you the broth is silky delicious. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
But that would go a long way. People think food
right. That's
motivates
the way
people.
Right.
Yeah.
That's how I got my book published with my publisher. You
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, no,
that's
no.
why I got David Godine to be my publisher. Was,
I bribe people
you know.
All the time with barbecue. It happens.
Yeah.
Right.
Motivate.
David Godine's a great publisher.
Yeah.
Wow.
He came up to my house for lunch and I gave him lobster and homemade clam chowder and apple pie.
Telling
and,
you.
And
yeah.
I
there would have been some
roe
in there if only you'd known.
But hopefully the film's going to grow demand. I mean, that's one of the objectives of the film is get people talking.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing I knew about green crabs was the name Green Crab.
Yeah.
And John Solomon's told me that Gloucester Harvest loaded with green crab, and he said if there becomes a business out there where people like Essex Shellfish or North Coast or other harvesters, even yourself, have a demand for them and he can put traps down, he said he won't have to leave the harbor.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. It'd be everybody likes to make money. Everything you can handle is extra money going over the dock.
Well, that's
and there certainly isn't a lot of other stuff coming
well,
in.
Right.
Well, that's the thing about problems like this that need to be solved. I mean, so for example, the town of Ipswich allocates a certain amount of money to pay trappers to trap them for compost. That's not really sustainable, right? Because
right.
there's no one's making any money there. But if people are buying this roe,
And it's a delicacy.
Right,
it
it's
becomes
a delicacy.
Yeah,
yeah, it needs to be a delicacy. You know what? It has. It needs to be a delicacy.
Yeah.
Because each crab, what you're going to get, how much you're going to get out of it, it's not going to be an ounce.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about...
Well, the roe.
The roe.
A single female crab can lay as many as 185,000 eggs.
Right, but I've seen green crabs.
They're small.
Green crabs are this big. They don't weigh an ounce.
Right.
So you're not. So out of a green crab, you're not getting an ounce of roe because that doesn't take up that much of their body. So to mess with the Greg, I'm saying the roe that you do get out of it per ounce has to be huge money to make the whole thing work.
Yeah.
Right. And it has to be absolutely has to be marketed as a delicacy. Like caviar.
Right.
Because it's so intensive.
It is caviar.
Yeah. This has been going on. Like Rachel Carson was writing about green crabs in the 1960s, and and global climate change in the 1960s. But of course, everybody was just too busy laughing at her first, had her book Silent Spring.
Yeah.
But she was writing. She was dying of cancer when Silent Spring came out, but then she was in the process of writing a book about climate change, and that was one of the things that she was noticing was this invasion of green crabs on the coast of Maine.
Wow,
that's
interesting.
In 1950 was the last time that the green crabs exploded like they are now.
In 1950.
And that's when the water temperatures increased for some reason. Nobody knows why.
Okay.
And then they died off a bunch,
I'll tell you this.
Tell me that.
2 years ago, down here at the dock, before 2 years ago, there'd be a handful of Jonah crabs that come in a day. A handful. If we handled 100 pounds, it was a lot. 2 years ago, for 1 year, every boat was bringing in 200 or 300 pounds of Jonah crab. Completely. I'm talking about, I've been here since I was 9 years old. I'm 50. So back then I was, so that's a sample size of what, 37 years?
Yeah.
Right?
41 years. 9 to 41.
But it was 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Right. So
39.
Okay.
So up until that point, they had never been.
That many.
Never been. I mean, I'm telling you, out of like 80 lobstermen,
100
pounds.
That was 2016.
And then, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
1 year.
Right.
Just every boat bringing in two. Some boats bringing in 500 pounds.
What about now?
Back to like barely any.
So like
just one, a totally, you ask the lobsterman,
right.
no one has an explanation for it. It's not like climate change doesn't happen overnight, right? It's gradual. We can all agree it doesn't.
Right.
It's not today we have climate change. We didn't have it last year.
Right.
It's something that happens gradually. This spike does not correlate
with
temperature.
Right.
It's a 1 year aberration. The following year, right back to normal.
When
it was guys that were fishing in Boston Harbor, Rockport, Gloucester. There's not one guy could tell you what that was about.
When that happens with birds and butterflies, it's called an eruption in a species, and there's no real. You can't. Sometimes you can trace it to something happening in the weather, and sometimes you can't. I wonder if it's called the same with fish species
marine
and crabs.
Wild.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, the thing that I've learned, I knew this before, but I didn't know it like I do now, which is that it's a nursery out there.
Right.
I mean, that's what the marsh
is.
Absolutely. Feeder. It's a feeder system, yeah.
Right. So, something like that could happen and be unexplained. I mean, all of this is really the result of the increase in water temperature in the Gulf of Maine, which they haven't really understood.
Well, it's rising.
I'll tell you what some of lobstermen say about why there's more different species along the coast.
Okay.
What they attribute it to is the sewering of all of these a lot of places. But I don't know if that is the case. They don't have sewer in Essex, do they?
Yes. Well, they used Gloucester.
They used Gloucester.
So now, is that something? Because so before...
That's a good point.
All of these detergents, everything was going right into the marsh. It wasn't
it wasn't
a hospitable place
for... It wasn't hospitable, right.
for these species.
Right,
could be.
Point.
Now with the cleanups,
why we have otters.
That's why we have otters, right?
Right.
That's why I have
beavers
a lot of different
otters,
species.
Right.
I'm not an expert.
Right.
I'm just relaying to you what the men that are on the waterfront and on the water tell me on a daily basis.
It's a good. I haven't heard that before,
but
it makes
really
sense
good
to me.
It's,
I mean,
very
the
logical.
Water's cleaner and more hospitable.
Right.
I mean, it was only a couple of years ago that we all of these Gloucester, we had pipes.
Right.
It was, there was sewer. There were
every kind of pipe.
Yeah.
Every
kind of pipe.
Right.
And just in the past, like it was probably 10 years ago, eight, 10 years ago, DPW came by and capped off everything.
Right, but again, so this film does not. I don't go too far into that. I mean, I do mention climate change, but I don't want to hit that too hard. I mean, because climate change is something for everybody that's really big, and it's true, and I feel that way personally about it.
And it's happening
it, okay?
all around.
But this, I specifically chose four towns that are connected to each other, to see what's going on in each town, and to sort of make the point that if one town has an effort to deal with green crabs and the other three don't, then it's not a solution.
Right.
So, and this is going on all the way up to Nova Scotia, and is on both coasts of North and South America.
When did they come into the California coast, like in the 50s?
Yeah,
so.
Well, actually, I was going to include, there's this one short film that takes place in Puget Sound where there's two marine biologists walking. They are responsible for this one marsh, and they check it out every day. And they found one male green crab 3 years ago, and they put out 150 traps. And in this film, one of the biologists looks into the camera and says, "You might think that that's extreme, but we're talking about green crabs." And then I wanted to cut to the GoPro shot of an otter trap filling up like in 3 hours.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Right. So. But they are, terrified of their losing their marsh in Puget Sound, and they know what that looks like.
Mm.
So we're way beyond that. I mean, we'll never be down to one green crab ever. Mm. That will never happen.
Seals don't cook, because seals are a big eater of them, right? Seals
are
eat them. Yeah.
Seals eat
seals
the green crabs?
Eat green crabs. So I was wondering, but they don't come into the marsh. They're like...
Yeah, they come into the Essex River.
They do? How far?
Just in the...
Yeah.
And not
they're,
into the... Not
they're,
way
they're
up.
The beginning. They're more at the beginning. They don't go way down. Right.
I'll tell you one thing we don't want is an explosion of seals.
Right.
They're nasty.
Well, they are. I mean, there's an... We have a lot on Cape Cod. There's a lot on Cape Cod.
No, I know. Everybody's... People tell me you see these helicopter shots and these drone videos and these... as far as the eye can see, they're like schools of pogies. They're just for miles.
Right. Thousands and thousands of seals on Monomoy
Island. The old question is, if there are so many seals, how come there are no fish?
Yeah.
According to some.
Well, they eat
not according to me, but according to some.
Yeah, they eat a lot of fish.
So choosing your film that you said you don't really call it a preview, you just kind of want to see how everybody feels about it. How's that going to work? What are you going to do, like a question and answer after?
Yeah,
fill out a thing? What do you think, folks?
People will come and, a lot of the people that are in the movie will be there, people that have supported the movie and people who are interested. A lot of science people, I think, will be there as well. What I'll do is I'll introduce the whole idea and show the 11-minute version first. And then just talk, just find out, just have a short conversation about what they saw, how they feel, what they think, and then show the 8-minute version. The only difference I can say without giving anything away is that between the 11 and the 8-minute version is that the 8-minute version deals more with the crab problem and less with the destruction of the marsh. The structure of the marsh. We just, minimize that to increase the focus on the crabs, because that's really the whole point of the movie, is to say, this is a wake-up call. This is going on. This is for real. We don't know all about all these things, but we do know that they're there, and there's more today than there were yesterday, and they're going to be more tomorrow.
Mm.
And that's the whole point of the movie. And also, my goal sort of is like, so there's all these really great groups of people that are working in the marsh trying to figure out what to do. They need resources, but not enough people know about it. Like Bruce Tarr didn't know about it until he saw the trailer. So you know, so those people need to know about it so that those groups can get more access to more resources, and so they can figure out like, well, what are we going to do here?
I'm interested to talk to some of the for this. No one is in the Essex River more, or the Essex River, right? Is
yeah.
This what we're talking about? The clammers,
right?
They're down on the front lines. I'd like to talk to some clammers and say, you notice this thing about that?
I see them
crabs?
A lot. I'll
yeah,
them.
Well, Toby, the Jupiter too. He goes clamming. But,
interestingly, the clamming this year in Ipswich at least, they've had a banner year for clams. But so the crabs are not needing to eat them. At this point, but up in Maine, and there are places where they've lost 80% of the clams, so the clammers are now gardeners. They have these plastic walls that they bury into, and then their seed clams go in there, and that's what they harvest.
Yeah.
So that's what we're looking at eventually.
So, Newbart, Tuesday night, Cape Ann Community Cinema, what time are you kicking things?
7:30, Tuesday night. It'll be about an hour and 15 minutes long. We'll screen both versions and be an interesting night. Should be interesting.
Well,
it does
you.
Sound interesting.
Yeah. Thanks for coming in. Kim, are you going? Or do you have other things?
I'm
sorry to put you on the spot.
No, you know what? I'm praying that I can go. I have a huge thing on Wednesday, so...
I know you like to support Newbart's projects.
Yeah, I'm praying I can go, but... Honestly, I don't want to say I can because I have a huge, huge thing on Wednesday.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
I got you. All right. Well, maybe we can get someone else to go. Kim did a post last night that we will link to in the show notes that will which will.
Right. It has the flyer, but it also links to, you can see the trailer, and it takes you right to Newbart's website.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you guys for coming in.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
All right. We have. So greencrabrnd.com as well,
right,
I
think it's .org. Let me check.
.org. Okay.
They'll have the recipes.
Right.
Yeah. Check out the recipes. Yeah, I'm excited about
Pat and Jimmy. You were at the visitor center recently.
Well, I was at the visitor center because I took up some volunteer time there. I have a shift to help out at the visitor center, and I was so impressed with the building. I didn't really know that much about the stone building, and it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful, and I could sit.
Don't they
right
have WPA murals there too?
I did not see anything
I've never seen that before either.
I'm gonna tell you.
Oh, okay.
Huh?
I'm gonna look. Look next time then.
I know they do.
Okay.
I just don't know if it's still up or if it was being restored or something.
Yeah,
but when
right.
I remember we were in.
Yeah. And my point was going to be, first of all, that it's beautiful and you can just sit there and look out over the harbor and it's just a really nice little respite. But for residents who might not have been there recently, there's a lot of information available.
I remember Carol Mondello, who's kind of like the director there right now.
She's the one that I've been in contact with about shifts and
she said that they're looking for people to fill these shifts right now.
Yeah, they're open until Columbus Day.
Yeah.
So 3-hour shifts. They're open, I think, something like from 9 to 6.
What have been some of your experiences there? Have you met some nice people?
Well, my first shift, the power went out.
Was that a citywide thing, or
it was over? A tree went down on Bond Street, and it one day this week. So that was kind of interesting. Yes, I've met some very probably the most interesting people, though, are residents of Gloucester.
Yeah,
have been the most interesting so far.
Do people come in from Gloucester and asking you questions?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's
or
interesting.
Just to talk or whatever, you know.
I love it there. The restroom is so nicely maintained. It's
yes, they are.
I mean, incredible.
Yeah,
wife,
they did.
Wife Jan works up there on Tuesdays.
I don't think I've met her yet, but
with, Carol McNeil, and she said, she said, folks from the West Coast come, and they never see sunrises on the West Coast.
Right.
So she puts them up on the black on the back shore. And every time she does it, it's raining out, and they don't get
it. Oh, yeah.
And she has to live with herself.
One couple came in from South Carolina. This is as the hurricane was approaching, and they live on the coast and just happened to be up here on vacation. And I was like, oh, my goodness, you must be frantic. And they were like, no. They were very relaxed about it. I was like, what's going to happen is going to happen. And
that's a good attitude.
But people do come in from everywhere just in the short amount of time I've done it.
We taped... I think we taped a podcast and a homie cast.
Yeah, that was super fun.
Were you there?
For both. It was fun.
And
during
on
the
deck there.
Yeah.
Facing the Antonio Gentile bandstand.
Uh-huh.
Right. Oh my
God.
I remember thinking at the time, like, I could do this every week right here.
Right.
It's just
right.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
And it was during the farmer's market.
Are you familiar with the latest plans? I remember last year or the year before, they were really trying to, like, do some kind of changes in the way the layout was. Kim, are you familiar with what's going on?
A little bit. They're trying to connect. What I think is really good about it is they're trying to connect Stage Fort Park with Ravenswood. So I think that's part of which would be so awesome, right? Because right now people have to, like, cut through, go on the street, cut through, you know what I mean?
How would that happen?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure, but that's part of the plan.
Yeah.
There's one little street that you can go down, and then you face Ravenswood. So, and then there's also talk about moving the farmer's market to the parking lot and making this whole step system. They're trying to get it organized by the 400th centennial. So, but, you know, I think there's mixed feelings about that because
people like where they are.
And, you know, so we'll see what the plans are. I know they're working on the plans.
Mm-hmm.
Community development is working on plans.
What about is it possible to bring Cressy's back to a beach? I know it's got all that ballast.
Oh,
that comes up every time we have a storm and throws it over the wall like softballs. But is that possible?
I don't know because it shifts so much like at places like Winthrop Beach, they're adding rocks and stone,
mm-hmm.
right? And here we're trying to get rid of some of we can work out something with Winthrop.
I grew up, my grandmother
lived right behind the cupboard.
And so my grandfather was down here working. Her and her sisters, she had, you know, 15 siblings. They knit underneath the trees right across from the cupboard. But as kids, you know, my mother would drop us off with my grandmother and stuff, and we'd be on that beach. That was a beach. That was a legit
beach.
Not long ago.
No, it was. Half Moon's the best beach in the world.
Oh my God!
It's beautiful. Well,
a gem
of
one.
What other beaches have shade?
Yeah.
Right.
I don't like to tell people about Oaks Cove Beach. The Rocky Neck people don't want you to know about it either. I get in trouble every time I mention it. And then we also get in trouble because some people say it's not called Oaks Cove Beach, it's something else. And
Smith
then we get
Cove,
in the big.
Right.
No,
oh my
it
God.
Is. It is Oaks Cove.
Yep.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Right.
One party heard from. I'm sure we're going to hear from the other party. My family was here back in the... Oh, God almighty in heaven. Trust me.
We had that fight like 5 years ago, right? Like,
no, it's a recurring thing. Every 3 years, we forget not to mention it. And then I mention it inadvertently, and then we get the wrath from the people that feel
different. We can just head them off right now and say, if you look at the maps, it's called Oaks Cove Beach on the map.
I'd like to refer it as the place where we go, not skinny dipping in the New Year's Day.
Yes.
The Rocky Mountain, the plunge.
Old maps, I'm saying.
Yeah.
Old maps, not
yeah.
recent maps.
Kim, you've been busy editing like crazy.
Yes, yeah, I'm very excited that...
I rarely see you. She used to stop in, and we'd have coffee once or twice a week. For the past 2 years now, I feel like, you have so many projects. She literally has 15 projects going on at the same time.
It's also like being a babysitting now.
Yeah.
Quite a bit for my granddaughter, so that that has, you know, as I adore all the every minute that we spend together, but it's taken away from my editing time. So
their ages?
She's just one, and she's 14 months. So, and she's very, very, very active.
Right. Of course,
and more to come.
My, you have an active child. I would always hear, I'm like, I know what that translates to. Yeah.
So,
so what have you been working on?
So I'm in the final stages of all the footage that I've taken over the last 3 years, adding that to the Monarch film, and just like, you know, this clip that I hated, axing that out, putting a new 10 times more beautiful one in. So I'll have all that done, I'm hoping Tuesday, and then except for one part of the life cycle part, and then so that's my goal right now, and then it's going to an editor, so like a final, you know, sound mixer editor. So
color correcting.
Well, I did a lot of the, I did so much myself that I don't really know, you know, I need a lot of help with sound mixing because I've recorded so much beautiful Foley and I don't have the levels right. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to lose all the, I very specifically recorded audio in the spring when spring things are happening, or audio in the summer. You know what I mean? Because I didn't want to just have canned Foley that, because somebody who really knows about birds would say, well, you would never hear that bird at that time of year, or whatever.
Right,
you know, but
right.
Just because I really wanted to be as authentic as possible. So you know, I love it, and I've carved out this chunk of time for myself, except for babysitting, and my clients, you know, my business winds down a little bit. I have another big push for fall, but, you know, so that's what I'm working on.
Very exciting. It's been a labor of love for a long time.
Yeah.
Nubar, this is something that I'm sure Nubar can identify with.
Yeah.
Long projects coming to a head.
Can I identify with audio levels being right and all that stuff? I mean, it's really, you know, it takes a village.
Especially when you're doing something on a professional level.
Right.
As opposed to the videos that I... So yesterday, Craig and I shot a video. I shouldn't even put Craig's name in the conversation because I don't want him to get discredited by my hacky editing. Because it's a different thing, right? You guys are doing professional, like, level work. I'm trying to get information out as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Damn the miscues.
Right.
To the widest audience.
So, like, we did this barbecue demo in 6 segments,
yeah.
And we did it so that literally all I did was trim off a second or two off of the start and finish of each different clip, put it into a program,
right.
Add the titles, end credits, and literally I did that in 45 minutes.
Right.
And thanks to the brilliance of Craig's shooting.
Yeah, well,
no,
Craig,
you know,
right,
but,
Craig's awesome shooter.
Yeah, I don't want. I shouldn't even talk about.
When
my,
is that?
I shouldn't
when
even
you,
talk
when
about
are you gonna
my,
post those? When you can post those?
I post them just. I'm gonna post this today, but don't worry about my little barbecue addiction.
We all enjoy your barbecue addiction.
Yes, I have to say.
Sometimes we get to have a physical taste of it, and sometimes it's more.
I really enjoy it. You know, for me, it's the process is
passion is passion.
That's
God,
what it is.
Right, you have it, and she has it for this movie, which is I've seen early cuts of it.
She gets up every day.
Incredible.
She's up almost at the same time as I am, running down to, you know, all the places where she knows where the wildlife is going to be.
The secret is there are 6 Kim Smiths. It has to be.
Yeah, she's incredible.
She's everywhere all the time.
I don't know how she gets done what she gets done.
I saw some amazing stuff this morning in the fog. It was just so like, oh my
the
God.
The otters are so, I love the otter.
Oh,
the otter ones
were unbelievable.
Yeah.
The photographs were amazing.
Those otters are.
That was breathtaking.
They're so playful.
They're so playful. Did you know?
Have you seen any? Oh, where you live, you probably see stuff like that.
I haven't seen them there.
I saw otters twice in the past 4 years.
And right here in the water?
Right here off of the dock,
right.
Playing and fleeting. It was literally for like 3 or 4 minutes, and then I had to go do something, and they were gone. But like to see them out of the blue in the ocean, like playing on my dock over here, they're the most mischievous, funniest little. I don't. If I had to come back in something other than a human, I want to come back as an owl. I'm not joking. You and
right.
I know because I was when I read your and I don't read all your posts,
right.
But I read this one because I'm interested in the otters, and the way you described it was exactly my experience watching them. How playful they were.
They have such a strong family bond too. It's really. I think it's extraordinary to
Every time I see what she's doing that she posts, whether it's video or pictures of these birds and otters and whatever, I'm convinced that she has something...
The whisperer.
The whisperer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's the otter.
Because, I mean, you know, they will do all these things for her. I mean, you know...
She does have some great equipment. Not that she doesn't know how to use it, because you have to know how to use it. But she has that really nice lens.
Well, I have a very nice 100-400mm lens, but when I'm with other photographers, they have 600mm lenses.
But they're not getting what you get.
Right.
No, but she spent so much time. This is the only way this can happen is by putting the time in the field.
That's
you know
right.
this.
Patience.
Yeah, you know this.
That's what I mean.
Patience alone.
Patience
to wait.
Yeah.
The passion is passion. Right? That's
yeah.
what it's about.
Yeah.
She's got it about, and
no
we all
question.
Benefit from that.
Well,
yeah.
you, I credit Monarchs with it because, like, I used to do, you know, I was doing landscape design with, you know, attracting birds and butterflies and all that kind of stuff. And then, but it wasn't until I saw the Monarchs coming across Massachusetts Bay. And I was photographing them, and I said at that time, the next time I see this, I'm going to have the ability to document it on film. And
yeah.
so that's...
And how long ago was that?
That was in 2006. So
see? There you go.
So I started documenting them in 2006 through photography.
Yeah.
But by 2000...
And the blog started in 2007.
2007, but
and
I didn't...
When did I take you on?
Maybe like 2010?
I think it was 2010.
Yes, 2010.
Yeah, you and Donna like were within a month of each other, and it was like right around November or October, because I knew my vacation time was coming up, but I needed people to fill time slots, and I couldn't be happier. Thank you so much. Tony Gross cut his second,
third,
second in a month.
Right.
Seahorse, in Ipswich Bay, which is kind of really funky, and cool. At the same, so this past week as well, I've had a bunch of my lobstermen have caught bonita.
Bonita, really?
Up in Ipswich Bay.
Wow.
Which is another thing.
They're amazing to catch. They're like little tuna.
Little baby, yeah, like
yeah.
little baby
and
tuna.
They're very strong.
Right.
Very strong.
Do they have super sharp teeth? Yeah.
They do have little teeth. At first, I couldn't, I was trying to think of the name, and then. And I'm like, oh, well, this is bonita. That's what it was.
So,
but isn't that cool, though?
Yes,
like, you know,
yeah.
usually
so,
we don't get these strange species.
Although they like,
they're southern.
They like warmer water, so that
yeah,
because that's, partly because the water
and that,
is warmer.
And
I'm
is
sure.
that why the seahorses are? I wonder. Do they like? Do they? I don't know. That would be interesting to find
maybe,
out.
Maybe,
because he's caught one. Tony Gross has caught like one, like every other year or whatever. But to catch three. Like that.
We cut two in the past month.
And then the
previous one was last year or the year before?
The water is walk-in warm to go swimming. Like,
yeah.
It, and it's September, which is so unusual.
Yeah.
So
well, we had the warmest, was it the warmest since when? Since the 40s or something?
Oh, I don't know. The Gulf of Maine is heating up faster than any other
body
of
water.
Water,
right?
Yeah.
Worldwide.
Worldwide.
Right,
yeah.
Which is astounding.
Right.
The, what was I gonna, I was just going to say.
Hmm.
Oh, so this is what I was going to say. So my small sample size of 10 years or almost 11 years doing the blog, whenever there's a curious sea creature, it makes the, generally, unless I'm so busy that I just can't take the time to photograph it, it makes the blog, you know, which is fairly, you know, a pretty good source, you know, because we deal with more lobstermen in the city than anyone else does. So I have a pretty good idea
of
what times of year strange things happen.
Right.
Normally, July, the end of the middle of July, every year, because I go back, we get these strange, like species that really shouldn't be that this far up here. Over the years, we had triggerfish, dory, now the bonita, but this
so
is September.
Interesting.
Yeah, but usually, like I when I look back in the archives, it's July.
I'm gonna look back and try to correlate that to see about like birds and butterflies.
Could be water temperature every year at that time.
Well, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Right, because it's pretty warm then, because that's when the Gulf is coming.
Right.
Right? Isn't that when the Gulf is that's when the water's the warmest on the Cape too? Like I think we don't get that affected. The only time we're affected by the Gulf, I think, is in July when we feel those warm Gulf waters coming in. Otherwise, it's more like just ambient air temperature that makes the water warm. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
So I've always just assumed. Oh, you know, after like 5 or 6 years of seeing this recurring pattern of the strange species being landed or caught and shown to me in July, that it was, you know, because of the water temperature, you know, that they can't went a little bit further north because of the water temperature.
Right,
but you know,
all the whales we've had this year too, like
the whales up against, right?
Yeah,
right, all the baits up against the rocks.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I learned is that when they say the water temperature in the Gulf of Maine has increased, they're measuring it not at the surface but 150 feet down.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
You know, over 3 years, it's been, like, I don't know how many degrees, but it's pretty substantial. So, like in the creeks, in the marshes, it's the water temperature is like 74.
Right,
it comes in, it's only 6 feet deep at most, and it heats right up and it goes back out.
Right.
So,
well, there you go. Jimmy, who was it? Jimmy, you spoke to the owners of Last Stop Variety?
Yeah.
The place is for sale. We knew that it was for sale.
Yeah.
And they're looking to put like a. Like a retreat house or something at the old St. Mel's, is that right?
Well, she was talking about basically the business itself.
Okay.
She was talking about that she wanted to keep the business and was hoping somebody would walk in and basically take over everything. She didn't really tell me about plans for the whole area.
Yeah.
But she was definitely talking about the business area that she, she knows she has great clientele, a lot of people are saying things. She's getting a lot of different offers, she told me. So she's just sitting back.
And waiting for somebody who wants to keep it a variety style.
I think what she wants is a certain thing.
Right, that's nice.
Certain thing.
Right.
Very descriptive.
Yes.
So by a certain type of thing, what are we thinking?
Well, when I go in there, I love the pastries and the sandwiches are right there and stuff. Yes, they have a store with all different crafts, and they have a general store in the back. I noticed that they have drinks and probably some food you can get, whatever. But I think what she said to me was she was kind of hoping somebody would just basically come in and keep it up, because so many of the clientele has said they like what's there. She said it's been 9 years.
Yeah, she's
and
done.
It's time that
she'd
done. Like to move on. She said she has a great plan. There's a big plan she has, and it's time.
Yeah. I tell you, let's all pray that whenever she decides she's done, or whatever the next step is for that particular space, is that it stays a little bakery kind of coffee shop.
Commercial,
because
absolutely.
Yeah, we lost East Gloucester Variety.
Yep.
And
Jake's.
So.
Right, homemade little pastries. Yeah. Oh, how about Sandpiper Bakery? Also,
don't take them away from the right at the top of the hill where I work. Please let them stay right there.
Yeah. No, I know. Let's just hope. Because those are what little places like that make a community.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
The Columbia Gas was the gas. It wasn't National Grid,
no,
I guess.
No, it's not National Grid. Right.
Was it the Merrimack Valley?
Merrimack Valley area. So it's Andover.
Explosions and fires.
Right. Andover, North Andover, and Lawrence. Right. So
horrific.
Yeah.
Did they get a count? A final count of how many explosions and fires?
The last
there were?
I heard was 70. Yeah. Did anybody hear more than that? No,
that's what I heard.
Well,
that's incredibly widespread.
That's
incredibly
I didn't even know that
was possible in this day and age.
Right.
Right.
We heard
right.
There were 70 fires, but we also heard that there were a lot of little ones that people were home and they put it out themselves.
Oh my
because
God.
All of a sudden the furnace, they, you know, either
the furnace goes out and you light a candle.
And
they
smelled something or whatever, and then they got out or they turned off their own because people were home. The big one that they showed about was the fireman that went out because he got the call to go to some other places and his place blew up.
How do you even go to sleep? How do you go to sleep at night?
I have friends who are going back to their house in Andover today. They were evacuated as a precaution. And, you know, they are nervous about going back and falling asleep in their house.
That's what
I'm
saying.
And there's no power.
There's
no electricity.
There's still no power.
They're turning the power on.
I also read that this company, Columbia, has had this happen three other times in other places.
They need to go away.
Pressurized. Overly too much pressure in the line.
In the line, they're from Columbus, Ohio, right? And for some reason, where does the this is what I couldn't figure out. Like, so this all this pressure shoots through the lines from Ohio. Where is this pressure originating from?
I've never really. I can't believe I'm going to say this, but now I really am happy I have propane.
Yeah.
Because we've always wanted natural gas to come down our
street. Well, yeah. You know, no, when I was renovating my house, I was like, I made the phone call because. You know, if they would have put the line to my house for free, I would have done it.
Me too.
And they said it's gonna cost, the number that they sent me was at a time they would have if there were so many houses they would have brought it down the street. Thankfully, I guess I'm
right.
Whatever. I mean, it's just.
Well, we have gas furnace gas.
Yeah. After the Eastern Avenue blow up a few years ago, National Grid has been incredible, and Public Utilities Commission. Renewing the lines throughout the city. It's been a pain in the neck for traveling, but they are overdrive to get new lines in.
Mm-hmm. Well, Columbia Gas was fired by Governor Baker they're not allowed to work on the cleanup.
Yes, right.
He hired another agency to come in and basically, I think the way he put it is clean up their mess.
Right.
Everright, I think he put another gas company in.
Really?
Yeah,
already?
To take over, which I think was
warranted.
Necessary.
Warranted.
Yeah.
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 And there are some local efforts for collecting up donations and things like that, one of which was with Eileen Duff, whom I don't know, but I've seen her name pop up as regards to collecting for donations, and she's asking that things be dropped off at 2 Duncan Street, and she'll get them in to the people that need them.
Did anybody do a post about this yet?
Donna put a post about a drive that was going on.
And there's
on
a closing
also.
Drive, yeah.
Closing drive.
Okay,
yeah.
So we can
yeah.
link to that. All right. I'm just going to put a little note to link to that.
Rockin' Neck is also, Rockin' Neck Cultural Center is doing something.
They are.
Oh, are they? I didn't see that yet.
Yeah.
See, I one of my gardens is at a school in Andover, so... And it serves that whole area. Even though it's at Phillips Academy, it serves that whole area. So I called the director, and I haven't heard back from her. So I'm just hoping that, I would love to put her in touch with the kids, with the clothing drive for the kids, when if I can get a hold of her. I'm a little...
Well, power, yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible.
So.
Just such a weak, in this day and age. You just
scary.
Think that we're past anything like this being able to
develop.
Happen. Right?
We were watching it develop and it was scary.
Yeah.
You know, minute by minute thing, you know, you're glued to the TV and you don't know what's going to happen next. And they kept.
What was happening locally at the same time? Because that kind of took second.
The hurricane.
This preempted the hurricane. Like,
yes,
people around here weren't
locally
even talking about the hurricane.
Right.
Normally, people, like older folks or whatever, would be glued to the. To
they
Weather
were,
Channel watching
right.
that,
right.
And
they were
it was non-stop.
6 or 12 hours went by, and I said, I have no idea where the hurricane is.
Insane. Congratulations to Elise and Tucker Smith, friends from Cedar Rock Gardens that got married yesterday. Nubar was there.
Beautiful, beautiful ceremony.
So old Italian men. This is what they do when they talk about weddings. How was the food? Was the food all right?
Every part of the food was unbelievable. Just delicious.
Yeah.
But mostly the two of them have created this amazing community.
Yeah.
And their family is like 250 people. And
yeah.
It was really like that.
Fantastic. Great people. Happy for them.
Yeah.
I'm so happy for them. Yeah.
I thought that I think I told them the last time they were in here that I thought that they had been married. You corrected me. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I just assumed that you guys had been, they were like old souls together. So on the other side of the spectrum, I'm sorry to hear about the passing of Vinnie Cafasso.
Yeah, he's our neighbor. On Plum Street, a lovely gentleman. He and his wife Kay, we would see them every day walking, going for walks up and down Plum Street, always a friendly word to say, and you know, just very sweet family.
John, did you know Vinny?
I
I knew him because my kids had him as a principal at one point in time, and he was always walking along East Main Street, very friendly, knew his wife. Nice, the Cavazos are great.
Yeah, really nice family.
Yeah, his...
four daughters, I think, and a son.
Yeah. His brother was a Giorgio Mataro. He was the hub of local news on WESX for years growing up out of Salem.
Oh.
All about Gloucester.
There you go.
Everything.
Oh, interesting.
God bless him.
Mm-hmm.
A strange kind of segue here, but I wanted to speak about, we're just getting press releases from Trio now. They're doing a Monday through Thursday, $9.99 specials, a different special every day. Pat and Jimmy decided to not take advantage of the special to go on Friday night. But tell me about your experience there.
We had guests in town, so we definitely wanted to take them to the Italian restaurant, given Jim's heritage. And we went down, we had a lovely time. I got the special appetizer was buffalo scallops, which were really good, big, yummy. Jim got the haddock Italiano, which is always a good choice. It was about 6:30 when we got there with the intention of eating outside, but it's been kind of, the weather this past week was a little shaky on that ground, so we stayed inside so that he could watch the baseball game on TV.
I like where your head's at. Where your head's at.
And by the time that we left, it was quite full in there. They were quite busy moving around and stuff. So friendly atmosphere. The food was good. We had a great time.
That's a beautiful space.
We didn't feel rushed in any way. Oh, yeah. I love going in there. Yeah. It's just so
relaxed. It's basically two sections. You walk in and there's the dining area. Then toward the back is the bar area. But trust me, those seats around Laura is just as good to have a meal and hold conversations,
mm-hmm.
because sometimes you get the bar crowd, maybe they're a little bit loud because they're really getting involved. You know, like maybe the Mets would score more runs than the Red Sox.
You couldn't help yourself.
Can I throw that in?
You couldn't help yourself. Jimmy works for the Mets.
Yeah. So, anyway, it is really nice to talk to, and there's a lot of great seats, and...
also nice that the Red Sox took the series.
Well, they took last night,
right?
Today.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'll just throw out there that Grom needs to win today so he can get the Cy Young. Let's just put that out.
Yeah. We have Susan Coviello stepped in.
We do.
She's flying solo. Usually when we have the Cape Ann Plein Air people in here, there's a gang.
Right, Karen Ristaban, is she still involved in it? And
Karen is on the advisory committee, for the first 2 years, Karen was project manager.
Okay.
And then she got her really wonderful job with the Essex County Foundation, and she's doing fundraising for creative economy around Essex County. So she had to step away from the project manager's job, and they asked me to do it, and I said yes, I would do it.
I filled in
for Karen. Chuck sends his apologies. He is unable to be here. He had an unexpected opportunity to go away for the weekend.
He's dead to us.
And believe me, that's who I'm texting right now.
Did you tell him?
James Caviston emailed me this morning. He couldn't come, so they just left it up to me.
They left it up to
the non-artist in the crowd.
So tell us. This has just been growing from the get-go. It gets bigger and bigger each year, right?
Yes. So this is only our third year, and within the with the first 2 years, we had 100 artists apply, 130 artists apply. This year we had 189 artists from around the world apply. We had applications from Russia and China and Japan and all over the United States and Europe. And we have a an impartial juror who does it all online. We have nothing to do with the vetting of the artists.
Now, do you keep a couple slots for locals?
Yes, we do. So the slots, so there's an alternate list, and that's where the locals come in. But we had two local artists get vetted into the 36. That were picked.
That's tremendous.
Yes, so John Caggiano and Ken Knowles were both back in again this year. And then the alternates, we have Alan Bull. He is from Newburyport, and a couple of other artists who are local. So we
Jeff Weaver?
Jeff didn't apply.
He didn't.
So, sometimes they're the artists are busy and they look at the calendar a whole year in advance, and if they know that October's busy for them and they can't make that time commitment, then they don't apply.
Mm.
Gloucester's greatest painter.
Yeah, well, Ken Knowles is coming on coming in hot.
Right.
Coming in hot. Ken Knowles is no joke.
Yeah.
Some of his murals
he
does.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Outrageous.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this Cape Ann the plein air is a movement right now, it seems like, around the world. They're having a lot of these people are applying to the best shows all over the country, and actually it seems like it's a job for them. They're traveling.
It's their career.
They're selling.
Yeah.
And exploring.
Right,
and
they must be doing well, because, right.
Not only do they have the opportunity to sell their art, but they also have the opportunity to win prizes. One of the things I love about Cape Ann Plein Air so much is the local support, the financial support that we have from Applied Materials and Engel & Volkers, and many businesses who have sponsored awards. We give over $21,000 in awards,
mm-hmm.
and that puts us in the top three or four in the country.
Ooh.
Oh.
For
so
total
you get some talent.
Prizes.
Oh.
Total
huh.
number of prizes.
Wow.
It's over $21,000.
And they get to come to Gloucester.
And they get to come all of Cape Ann. They get to stay in Cape Ann.
Just like the actors at the stage company.
Right.
Half of the actors take the gig, not for the money, trust me, because they love to come to Gloucester in the summer. And we get this incredible talent that wants to be here.
Right.
Along the same lines.
Right.
I have to tell you, I mean, I would love, as another movie I'd love to make, is on Cape Ann Plein Air. I mean, every time, and I mentioned it to Karen when she was involved, and Chuck. I mean, every time that's going on, everywhere I go, I see painters.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
over Cape Ann.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that, Nubar. I love that
idea.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
Idea.
I mean, what a film that would make.
Mm-hmm.
This is the birthplace of plein air painting in America.
Right.
Gloucester and Rockport is the birthplace.
Is it really? I didn't know that.
You could
yeah.
do it from so
yeah.
many different angles,
right?
Right. Yeah.
Island, all different light, all different times of the day.
Yes,
you get the sunrise, you get the sunsets.
I actually have it in my head, now that I've seen it, like I don't know how many years it's been going on, but I can see the film in my head. I mean, like how I would, you know, who...
Yeah.
Who?
The storyboard.
Storyboard.
Yeah.
Thank you, yeah.
Very cool.
It's incredible.
She surreptitiously takes out a business card
and
puts it across
this.
The table.
Thank you.
So it starts on the artists. You're very welcome. The artists come in on October 7th. The opening night is in Essex. One of the things that we love is a great collaboration between the museums and the local art associations for this whole Cape Ann-wide
mm-hmm.
event. They will come in on Sunday. They paint during the week. Every evening, we're trying to entertain them in some way or another, feed them. They love to get free food. Tuesday night, Charles Gallery is hosting an open gallery reception where the artists will be featured. They'll be there. Public is welcome. It's a wonderful, beautiful event. Friday night, we're doing a clam bake at the Gloucester House. And if you can listen to Lenny's beautiful stories about Gloucester for about a half an hour, after that you get to have a lobster dinner with the artists. And that's $30 for non-artists, and that's open to the public as well.
Oh, that sounds
and then,
that's
of course,
a great
Saturday,
idea.
Yeah, it's really, really fun. And
yeah.
Alan Estes is actually going to be there. Many of the artists are bringing their musical instruments, and they're sort of going to hopefully have a jam. That'll be the first time that we're adding that.
So I got an invitation to that via email from Chuck. Do you have to have an invitation, or is it open to the public?
You got an invitation to the
Friday night dinner.
No, it's open to the public.
It's open
to
the
public.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's
$30.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Saturday night, North Shore Art Association is hosting the gala, and that's when the artists have they can bring up to 8 paintings, 5 to hang, 3 in reserve in case they're sold off the wall during the evening. We can replace
mm-hmm.
them. And those tickets are $65 now through September 30th, and then they go up to $75 after that.
And there's limited number of tickets, so get them now.
Right.
CapeAnnPlanAir.com. You can get the tickets online.
Right.
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 And then that night is the awards exhibition and gala at the North Shore Art Association. Sunday, what happens?
Oh, Sunday's really exciting. So Sunday is the quick draw or wet paint. The artists, and this is not open, just the Kappa artists will be part of it, but we also open it up to anybody, another 80 artists. Whoever wants to come and paint, well, they'll be signing up in Rockport. Well, they sign up ahead of time. They check in Rockport from 7 to 9 a.m. And from 9 to 11 a.m., they paint in the Rockport Cultural District area, and they can only paint for 2 hours. We blow a horn. They have to frame their art. They have to bring it back to Rockport Art Association. We hang them. They're judged. And then, again, that is open and free to the public to come from 1 to 5 to see the wet paint. It's literally wet paint. You don't know how many times I put my fingers in beautiful paintings. And you can buy the art right off the walls. So that's another really exciting time.
There's so many ways to be involved in this.
Yeah. So many ways. And that really involves a lot of local artists, even local artists who may not want to apply for the big thing, but they can certainly come and be part of that. We have juried and non-juried prizes. Again, those are sponsored by local, very wonderful local arts patrons and businesses.
Engels and Volker, which I haven't mentioned them yet, but they that was Sotheby's by the Sea, right?
Right.
Karen Hansen's Warren's girlfriend's
company. So did she? Did she take it over? Like, is it her company?
I'm not sure how it worked out, but whoever worked for Sotheby's by the Sea, I believe, is now under the umbrella of Engels and Volker.
So she went from one real international real estate company to another. Is she still by the sea? She's Engels and Volker's by the Sea.
Okay.
Many of her folks went with her to Engels and Volker, and they are a diamond sponsor for us this year. So we have Applied Materials, who is our presenting sponsor, and Engels and Volker is very generously supporting us as well.
Thank you for mentioning your sponsors.
Yeah.
So many people come in,
I have a whole list,
and they talk about,
they
talk about their event, and they don't mention the people that really
make it happen.
I mean, I understand the volunteers, like what you do is obviously so important, but we have a lot of generous benefactors in our community, and so often it bothers me that people come in and they talk about all the work that they're doing and don't give credit to the sponsors. It drives me nuts.
And they're listed in the book, so there are lots of sponsors.
And this book is worthwhile to keep on your... It's a coffee table worthy book.
Right.
It's really... It has a little bit about each different artist, some examples of their work.
And that book is the 2018 catalog, I think.
Yes, and I can actually bring some up to the visitor center.
That's a great idea.
I think I'm out of them in my car, but I do have brochures as well. I'll make sure that they're up there.
So, Susan, where can people get more information?
Well, the best place to go really is the website. We also have a very active Facebook page. So if you look on Cape Ann Plein Air on Facebook, you'll find a calendar of events and all of that on there. It's very easy to find. The booklets and brochures are all over the four communities, especially in the arts community. So North Shore Art Association, Rockport Art Association, the Essex Shipbuilding Museum, Museum in Manchester, the Trask House. So they're all over. But really, the website's probably the best place.
Thank you for coming in. I'll link to those. I'll link to the Facebook page and the website for Cape Ann Plein Air.
Great.
Appreciate
you so
coming
much.
In. John.
Yes.
We're going to finish up with this.
Okay.
You've been involved with Gloucester Marine Genomics Institute
from the beginning.
Yeah. It's one of these things that another feather in the cap of our community.
Right.
And can you tell me where the building that's next to Rose's Marine is? We got a press release. Where am I? Right here, for the ribbon cutting, October 30th, 2018.
Yeah, Joey. I think the Chris Monkholm, the chief of operations, said to me the other day, Joey's on the top of my list. So I think that press release was an invitation to you to come over, or else you're going to get one. That's all.
No, we got it, and Kim. David Cox, I believe,
we're going to go photograph.
I won't be able to get away from the dock unless it's a storm.
Okay.
But Tuesday, October 30th,
right,
from 11 to 12, the and it's amazing. Wendover did the construction, right?
You go by there at 12 o'clock at night, they're working.
They're,
you go by there today on a Sunday and they're working.
They're phenomenal, aren't they?
Wendover, terrific, yeah. Right. And the company changed ownership during all of this. It was from a private corporation to an employee-owned corporation at ESOP. But that didn't slow... I think things intensified in terms of the
Yeah, because
work
it's employee-owned now. Isn't that awesome?
That is
fantastic.
They built... they were responsible... They were the builders at the Beauport Hotel as well, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Beauport Hotel and so many other projects.
Let's get back to GMG.
Yeah.
this is a large, how many square feet, how many square feet that building is?
I think it's over 20,000. GMGI has taken a portion of the building.
Right.
A lot of the other space will be available to marine industrial uses, but I think we're taking maybe a third of the building over.
Mm.
It should be, it's where we're going to have our R&D, our biogenetics, under the leadership of Chris Moncombe, Michelle May, who's the president and chair of the board of directors. And the academy is going to stay up in John McNiff's at Cape Ann Industrial Park, Blackburn. And that's underway right now under Dr. John Doyle and Joe Rosa, who is volunteer professor, who is absolutely terrific. And you know him through the Gloucester Education
Yeah, of course.
Foundation.
Yeah.
He just pulls the go button and goes and very quietly, almost an electric engine, and keeps it going.
What opportunities for our youth, though? You talk about the kind of things that you want in our city, right? Like
right.
The kind of jobs that you want and stuff like that. What a seed.
What a seed.
I cannot
what
go
a seed.
To their graduations. This is their, they're 5 years old. This is their third class right now. I can't go to their graduations without a box of Kleenex.
Yeah.
The stories of these young students is, it's such a intellectual, emotional driven charge from people that were not intellectually driven before. One of the students is who was on her way to the edge of the cliff this year is working at MIT in biogenetics in one of the leading labs in the world. And she had $10 an hour jobs, and here she is. And I'm so proud of the academy, but also proud of her and all of the graduates. It's really something.
Really pulls at your heartstrings.
Well,
yeah.
I'm hoping that. What are your chances that you're gonna be able to show up for that?
Oh yeah, that's definitely.
Okay,
thanks,
so
Will.
I'm hoping that you
yeah.
will be able to get some really.
Yeah.
You'll be able to capture some of, you know, the.
Right.
The students.
Yeah, you
yeah.
know, if the video of you know talking
I,
about
right,
it would be fantastic.
I noticed it said it really starts at 10:30, right? It doesn't say 11.
It says 11 on
but
this.
But then in
yeah.
the corner it says 10:30, so I thought I would just get
yeah.
there early.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Fantastic.
But the community has been really supportive. Volunteer help, individual donations, private donations, and then. And Margaret Ferranti, Bruce, Safadia, the school committee, Paul Lundberg at the city council have all got behind. It's required a big movement to get this going.
I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they love coming down here. And
they have an open invitation.
Open
they know that, right?
Right.
So there we go. All right, John, thank you. I know you
well,
have to get
you.
To church. Susan, Nubar,
thank
Pat
you.
And Jimmy,
thank
Kim.
You.
What a great day.
John.
Thanks again.
Great day, Gloucester.
Thank you.
Bye.